This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Not sure where you're at in the U.S. or somewhere around the world, but wherever you are, thanks for joining us. We're thrilled. This is Pete Caliendo, your host of the show that loves the challenge, the status quo. That's why we bring in some of the top experts in the game of baseball to challenge some of the things that we've done in the past. And we've got some great, great shows for you. Before we start, check us out on YouTube. That's all we ask. They're all free shows. We already got 90 plus on YouTube. Subscribe, Peter Caliendo. Again, Peter Caliendo YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. It really helps us out. If you love the show, share them. That'd be fantastic. And then on top of it, the audio, as you know, goes on baseballoutsidethebox.com podcast, along with live on Facebook. Thanks for joining us. And folks, today we're continuing, because we have this probably once a week, we continue our talk about visual training. We try to bring in some of the top experts in the game, some of the top technology. Yes, folks, technology, that's the name of the game. If you don't jump on a technology band, you know, kids love it and it's proven to work. Coaches will tell you, you got to try to use it the best you can, especially now during the COVID virus. Boy, technology is being used more than ever. Let me introduce our guest. Yes, Peter Fatty, Game Sense Sports. He's been on before, return guest, and we love him. Chief Science Officer, Game Sense. He's also Southern Illinois Professor's Learning Systems Design and Technology. He's got a PhD from Purdue University with the research and design. Their product is in with major league, minor league teams and also collegiate teams, youth teams. It's being used all over. So let me welcome today my friend, Peter Fatty. How you doing, Pete?
Hi, Pete. I'm doing great.
Thanks like for having Pete, me on. Pete Appreciate Show. It. Yeah, it's like the Pete and Pete Show. It'll be easy to remember names.
Yeah, right.
So tell me, what's, you know, Game Sense, you know, I check you out on Twitter all the time. I follow you. Game Sense Sports has been doing a lot in the game of baseball, but I know it's not just baseball because it can be, I'm sure, used in all kinds of sports. But kind of catch us up. You know, it's been over a year. Catch us up where Game Sense Sports is. What are some of the new things possibly that you've developed or learned as you go along in the process of, you know, having people in the U.S. and around the world use this great product?
Yeah, well, of course, the big thing for everybody is the pandemic. And, you know, actually what we do actually kind of suits that. It's kind of pandemic proof.
Yes. You know,
It's something that players can do at home. And a lot of times what coaches worry about is if they're at home doing stuff like stuff off the tee, you can end up making bad habits and then you're ironing in a wrinkle. So one of the nice things about the Game Sense is that all that coaching is built right into the app. You know, you get instant feedback, you get corrective feedback, you pick the pitch and then you can go with that from there. Is this something where I can like show that real quickly so
Absolutely.
People just have an idea what it is?
Yeah, you could share with folks. We're going to share the screen here. I believe, let me see.
Yeah, so while Pete's getting that figured out, so I can just show you here quick.
Go ahead.
It's like the old thing, show and tell, you know, the telling makes a lot more sense if we can do a little bit of the
You there, Pete?
Show first. All right. So this is the way this would look, and this can be on an iPad. That's what's really great. For the teens, we really try and get them to do it on the iPad because that's a super platform. But you can do it on iPhone too. And we're working now on getting it out to Android because a lot of people ask for that. So this is a video looking through here. So this is this occlusion method. So I'm just going to play this and talk a little bit. Occlusion means it's cut off. So you see the pitch, boom, about a third of it. You're supposed to say what type of pitch. Okay, I said fastball strike. It was a slider. Ooh, you see the replay on it. You see? Okay, looks like some curveball strike. Okay, you see how it was the guess there was correct. Here comes the full replay, and then you see it. And then we have the same thing for softball, where it's cut off. and then you see the thing again, you know? So every time you make your prediction, you identify the pitch, and that's the easy one. That's where it's cut off at about a third. Let me just run that back here again. So really what you see is you see this, you're all geared up. You're seeing a batter's point of view, right? You can tell that's a right-handed batter's point of view. The ball's not coming right at you. It's coming down there at an angle. And these are shot, the baseball ones are shot in-game. These are Frontier League games, top-level independent league. You know the people involved with that really well, Pete. Mike down there at you know, with the Southern Illinois Miners. That's where
Mike Pinto, a great friend. Yep.
Yeah, friend of Game Sense and of this, friend of science and that. And Steve Marino is his hitting coach for several years. So, you know, that's the thing. These are real pitchers in here. And you get a pitch count, and so you're kind of geared up. And you say, okay, I know this is a sinker slider guy. Now you saw it that time, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of knew what was coming out. The first time you saw it, you probably missed. But now this time you're saying, okay, I see the release. I see that little bit of a hump in there. And then if you miss it, you get the replay. And this shows you the whole pitch now, okay? Mm. So, you know, earlier on we'd kind of mentioned – here, I can go away from the share on that. We'd kind of mentioned, different kinds of technologies for pitch recognition. And I would hope that people are finding the technology, doing their research, getting into that. Might be ours, might be somebody else's. The first level, though, is you got to accept that this is something, A, that's important to high-level hitting – B, is trainable, and C, that it can be, you know, trained with technology, and then I'll worry about selling you, you know, my Chevy versus the other guy's Ford. Yeah. First of all, we got to get you in a pickup truck.
That's right. Pete, let me ask you, when it comes to coaching, you hear the term a lot, you know, try to pick the ball up as early as possible. The earlier you pick it up, the better you are, because you could, again, use that word, recognize the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've recognized it early, because you talked about the one third, you know, it seems like most people one third are pretty decent at it. It's the rest of it. But if you pick it up one third, shouldn't that help you the rest of the way?
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the things that's a little bit of a misguided idea is people think, oh, this is all about taking a lot of pitches and drawing walks. That can come with it. But what it's really about is giving you just that moment more time. And that can be for swing adjustability too. You know, you recognize that slider like we saw there coming out early enough. And it's not like you're thinking about it. You know, we talked about earlier about instincts, right? You can't be thinking about it. It's got to feel like instinct. But what it is that your eyes are so trained that when that little part of your brain signals, you know, not a fastball, signal slider, you've got that mental image of where that ball is going to be, and you're adjusting your swing. You're getting down with your knees. You're adjusting your timing so that you're barreling that pitch. So we're just talking about fractions of seconds and fractions of inches, but of course, that's what makes all the difference. So the earlier you read that, the better. And like we have a test, a video test. It's only about a 5-6 minute test, and several hundred of the minor leaguers have taken this, and a lot of college hitters. And we actually split the score into identifying the pitch type and then saying whether it's ball or strike. And what we find out is the people that can identify the pitch type early, even earlier than the video we saw, because that's actually the easy one. That's a third. Now you go back to where you got less than half of that, and that's the more difficult one. And that ability to really pick the pitch type early is really associated with slugging percentage, because these are the hitters with the longer swing. You know, you've got a little bit more behind that. And so you've almost got to pick that earlier, and then you can do a lot of, do a lot of damage with that.
You know, question on that. When it comes to, you know, you see a lot of hitters, I videotape them off MLB and show them on Twitter and everything. A guy gets fooled. You know, he's going to be off time. Sometimes, you know, you get fooled by the pitch, you're off time. But yet pro hitters, good ones, really know how to stay with the ball. They follow it as long as possible. They keep the bat behind the ball, and then sometimes they'll drop in a single, but sometimes even a good line drive. Does that mean they didn't recognize it early and they recognized it late, so they're able to stay through it?
Well, this is really a great thing to bring up. Because like we have talked about, you know, out on Twitter and all, there'll be some hitting coaches say, well, this is all covered in your mechanics. You get yourself in a good position where you got two eyes on the ball and you've got the adjustability of your swing. But the thing is, that's great, and that can buy you a little bit of time. That can buy you a little bit of margin of error. That's what you're talking about. If you've really got the swing mechanics down, you've got that little bit more margin of error. Now, you pick that pitch early. You read that pitch early. That buys you a little bit more margin of error. And now you've got that really dangerous player. Doesn't need to guess the pitch ahead of time. They can read the pitch. They can adjust. You know, they're gaining a couple, they're gaining a little margin of error here. They're gaining a little margin of error there. Their bat path, right, is coinciding with the ball path. That's buying them some margin of error. And now you've got that hitter who's putting a lot of balls in play hard.
Yeah, and I always thought, because, you know, I'm thinking, well, if he's fooled, maybe he didn't see the pitch. But it could be also a mechanical issue, you know, where he's off balance. But the visual aspect overcomes everything. You know, sometimes we're training mechanics so much. I mean, really, if you think about it, and I've said it on the show many times, I've said it on Twitter, I've watched hitting coaches talk about hitting, and vision doesn't always seem to be at the top. And I'm thinking to myself, well, how could it not be number one? The training the brain, and you mentioned that on Twitter and in your program, training the brain is the most important thing. Are we up to date on really understanding how the brain is trained, or we've got a lot more to learn?
Well, that's an interesting way of putting it. A lot of people now, there's like real strides being made in like how the brain works. But our approach, I'm kind of like old fashioned in that way. You know, I'm like what they'd call behaviorist. It's like black box. You know, it's like, I don't really feel like I need to know what is going on inside the brain. I need to know what kind of inputs make that happen faster and the output. It's like the farmer. You know, it's great if you understand, you know, what makes the seed grow, and the more you understand about the science of that. And we've had extension that's brought that out, and the science of farming has really improved a lot over the decades. But still, you know, you don't necessarily need all of that. What you need to know is when to water, when to fertilize, when to rotate. And so you can be informed by the science. But it's also a matter of, this is where it comes down to the coaches, you know, really knowing how and when to use these, how and when to use these tools.
And we're going to get into the product, obviously, and how it's used and the benefits and all that. Interesting. Train your instincts. I love that, because I think a lot of times our players, especially in the U.S., you know, and I'm not talking about visually only. I'm talking about overall game instincts. But I would assume overall game instincts all starts with vision. I mean, if I'm fielding a ground ball, it's vision. If I'm, you know, catching a fly ball, it's vision. So training vision is training instincts in all aspects of the game, correct?
It is. And what we're calling instincts is, you know, what we mean is anticipation in that early read. But you've got to have the mechanics with it too. It's not like separating out one or the other. It's like somebody say, well, should you do weight training or should you do conditioning? Well, obviously you should do both. And you're really great when you bring them both together. So the instincts part of that is, it's not, oh, you get the perception on that. You get the image and then you figure out what to do. That's got to fire a script. That's why we say instincts, you know. That's got to fire a script. You've got to have a script, whether you're fielding a grounder or you're hitting, whatever it is. You've got a script for how to get a slider that's going away from you. And you work on that on your own or with a coach, a pitching machine, off the tee, however you're doing that, so that as soon as your eyes recognize that, then you're going to – Tony Gwynn used to say, my eyes see and my hands know what to do. That's what we mean by instinct. We don't mean instinct is born in, because Gwynn was really known for being the first one to like really get into video. So it was by no means some kind of born in talent, but it seemed that way to him. It seemed that way to somebody looking on, like he just had some instinct for getting the bat on the ball. But that's the instinct. My eyes see, my hands know what to do. Well, it takes a lot of practice, a lot of work, a lot of experience before your hands know what to do. So that's when you put those two together.
We really don't know the balance, but I would think that vision would have to be a higher percentage than the mechanical work. Because I believe, you know, the vision can change the mechanics. I'm a fundamentalist. I mean, I love fundamentals. I think we need to stress them. But at the same time, if you're not training vision more than the fundamentals, Let's say you're doing more fundamentals and less vision. I think that would be a detractor.
Well, I think of a quote from Rocco Baldelli. This was like back in 2012. This was
great Italian.
Sloan. Yeah, he is. And
manager.
What a great ball player. And he was on the baseball panel at this MIT Sports Analytics conference. So he's on the baseball panel with Luno from the Astros, original Bill James, and Scott Boros, and, you know, these people. And they finished this thing. The moderator asked, what does analytics not give us now that you wish it did? And they each had an answer. It came around to Rocco, last in line. And he says, I want to know why some guys who can hit, and some guys who can hit, don't hit. And that's really what we're getting after, at least when we're working like with the minor leaguers. We're not talking about the real developmental. We're talking about, you know, at that level, you know, everybody can hit. You've got somebody in there, but what's going on with that person who can't quite get to the level that they, their coach, their teammates, everybody knows that they can be at? And that's when it's going to come down to, as you say, the vision part of it. So, you know, I don't know what that balance is as you go up and develop, but when you get to a level like this, that's what's going to take you to the next level. You've already mastered your mechanics. It's not that it's more important than the mechanics, but you've mastered that. That's not going to get you to the next level. You're not going to find 10% there. You could find 10% here.
Interesting. And do me a favor, Peter, for our audience, because we had a slight glitch. Repeat what Rocco Baldelli said at that conference.
That was at the Sports Analytics Conference, MIT Sports Analytics Conference.
And what he said.
Yeah. Oh, and what he said was, yeah, it's great what he said. He said, I want to know why some guys who can hit.
Yeah.
And some guys who can hit don't hit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they've both got the great swing. They've both got the approach. They've both got the confidence. They both got, you know, whatever it is that you want to bring to that. And some guys can see major leaguers, you know, very many. You can point any time. Some of these new guys who are coming up, and you know, are they going to be able to get that part of it?
Yeah, and some guys, like he said, they just flat out hit. And now on that, I would assume when you're looking at athletes, the ability to have pretty good vision. I understand there's several things behind the vision aspect, but to have good vision, you know, I remember being at the ABCA, and again, we're going back 15 years. Some experts in the field of vision were saying that, you know, 95, maybe even more percentage of major league players are 2010 or 2012, you know, nobody's 2020. I mean, I guess it starts there, but then there's more to it than that.
Well, and I don't have anything particularly to do with vision and like rods and cones. It's important, you know, it's a very visual sport, obviously, probably the most, at least on the hitting end.
Mm-hmm.
But what I talk about is perceptual, perception. Perception is vision for action. That's where you're drawing meaning from it. And so, you know, I, again, at one of these conferences, guy, you know, I'm academic. I go around to all these conferences, and there was one of them, the analytics one they hold in Boston, and a guy who is a vision guy said the main thing to remember is that what we see is a construction. People think they're seeing the world, and they're not. You're seeing clues. You're putting that together in your mind. This is why Harper, you know, a couple of years back really jumped on a reporter. He said that, so, you know, Syndergaard's fastball was rising, you know, mm-hmm. And the guy said, well, it's, you know, it's gravity. It can't possibly rise. And he got all over the guy because in his mind, he expects that ball to be belt buckle high. If it comes out belly button high to him, it rose 2 inches.
Mm.
And why would we want to argue that? That's his perception. That's the difference between vision and perception. You know, the meaning it's put together in his mind, connecting the dots of that ball coming in, where that ball's coming in and where your swing's got to be, intersecting those lines, you know, that's based on that perception. It's not based on whatever the reality of the thing is. So what you see is a construction. You know, you see hints. That's why we don't spend a lot of time telling guys what to look for. People ask me all the time, well, what do you look for? There's a couple of things, you know, you can get a karate chop or a skinny wrist for a curveball. And sometimes you can sense the change up being, held back in the hand, or you see more white, or, you know, the famous hole in the slider, the dot in the slider, and some things like this. But for the most part, we want to just do like what I was showing you there, where you get lots of reps with that instant feedback, and your eyes and your brain will figure out what it's seeing and picking up. If you ask a hitter, they'll tell you something. It may or may not be what they use, you know? So our eyes and our brain are smarter than we are. Mm-hmm. Let them figure it out. Set it up like a good lift, where if you just keep doing this and you do it right, and this is why it's important to do it with a tool, not just fool around with, oh yeah, I've got some cutoff videos. And you'd be surprised, there are a number of major league organizations that work at that level. You know, that you really want to be precise in this, just like a lift. You don't want to iron in a wrinkle. You're getting inside the mechanism. You want to be really, really precise. Lots of reps, instant feedback. Lots of reps, instant feedback. Progressive difficulty. Less and less ball, and your eyes and your brain will figure out how to do it. It's like a good lift. You don't need to know everything that's going on with that. You need a well-designed lift, so that it targets the exact thing you want to target in such a way that it increases it over time. All you have to do is stay with it, put your time in, you get better.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, you know, as a coach and also to our coaches, players or parents, I mean, think about it. You're working on identifying the pitches, but also, you know, if you have a game plan, you know, if you're thinking about the count, if you're thinking about, you know, certain patterns that pitcher has, when you combine the vision with your game plan, boy, are you really going to be on top of the game. But here's my question. When it comes to, I would assume that if I'm looking at video of pitchers that you're showing, it's much better to see the pitcher you're going to face than it is just to see any pitcher.
Well, this is where we get into like two different kinds of things. And you introduced me as a professor in instructional design and technology, which I am. And there's a difference, and people need to understand this difference, between skill acquisition, trying to build that skill, and opponent preparation. So what we're really interested in, until you get to that very highest level, is in skill acquisition. And you're actually better off seeing pitchers that are like the ones you see a variety, not necessarily that guy you're going to see tonight. The idea is we're trying to build up a general skill so that you step in the box and you're going to pick that guy up. You're going to get your read. You're going to pick that guy up in the first at bat. Maybe you're going to nail him in the second at bat instead of having to wait to the third. And in the major leagues now, you hardly ever get the third.
Right.
You know, you've seen the statistics for the, yes, the hitting batting averages on third at. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to build that ability so you can step in against any pitcher, especially if you got a good scouting report in hand, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you got your teammates coming back and saying, hey, this guy's fastball is really hopping today. And if we've really got the modern hitter trained properly, they can take that piece of information. Wow, this guy's fastball is really hopping today. And they can adjust their script. So when they're firing that script now, you know, in the old days, we'd say, oh, you got to get on top of the ball. Well, you know, that actually means you got to swing almost over it. You know, so we got the ability now, again, we're trying to help that hitter take back some of that ground that the pitchers have gained. And the technologies can help us, because that's what lets us. If you can measure it, you can train it. So this is why the blast sensors have been, and DK have been such a contribution. You put that number up there, then you make, oh, I make this little adjustment. Ooh, I don't get that number anymore. I make that little adjustment. Oh, hey, that affects the number. That's why that instant feedback, get that feedback loop is so important. So that's what the technology's bringing you. It's not necessarily like, I mean, it's great if you have VR and you can go in there and you can stand in against the pitcher and, but that's not really what you need. What you really need is that good lift. What you need is that feedback loop. And so that's, you know, the pitchers have really used that to shape their pitches. And now it's time for the hitters to use that so that they can shape their adjustment to those pitchers. That's what we're after. You can, and Ted, it's nothing new. Ted Williams said the same thing.
Yes.
I use the first at bat to adjust my sights.
Yeah.
So if you're saying what is the ultimate, you know, expression of what we're calling pitch recognition, I'd say it's the ability to adjust your sights.
Well said. Yeah, I love that term. I've got to put that up because I never thought about that when you, that's really what your first at bats, you know, same kind of like base stealing, you get on base, you're reading the pitcher for the first time. Am I going too far if I say, okay, it's great that you're working a pitch recognition, you see it a third of the way, and then, you know, it gets better and better as you're training, obviously trying to follow, you know, get it all the way. But what about seeing it all the way and then actually making contact? Is it better if we have a whole system like that, or am I just, you know, thinking way outside the box?
Well, and this is why, you know, I know a friend of the show, Jerry Weinstein, who takes mm-hmm. a lot of, you know, he really looks at the vision and everything of this. And, you know, I communicate with him as well as some others. He's kind of got a panel, I think, that he draws upon. But, you know, the thing is, you really don't track the ball all the way in. You've got like a real typical head movement, that kind of chin going from shoulder to shoulder. And when you break it down, you were saying you watch a lot of those, you know, those batting films, you break that down. Head's not moving very much.
Mm-hmm.
And the eyes are coming down here, but that mostly has to do with your swing mechanics. You know, keeping your shoulders in and correct is, you know, and again, Ted Williams said that. People said, I see the bat hit the ball. He said, seldom, maybe two or three times in an entire career.
Wow.
But he said, the master carpenter doesn't need to see the ball, see the nail to hit it square every time. And that's what you're doing. You only, at those higher levels, And sometimes the over-under on that is about 83 miles per hour. Pitch over about 83 miles per hour, you no longer just track it in and hit it. You've got to be mentally connecting the dots to where that's going to end up.
It's so interesting you say that.
You can, but your mind's got to fill in the rest of it.
Well, it's interesting because I remember seeing lots of videos of guys, and I saw the result. You know, it was the line drive. It could have been a base hit or caught. But you see the ball making contact, but his eyes, if you look at them, they're not looking there. They're almost looking. Yeah. Sometimes in front, I've seen guys where they're looking straight. It looked like. Right.
Yeah, you get clips of Bonds doing that, but his eyes did things that other people's didn't, but you know, he'd be looking straight ahead, but that's exactly it. People are looking at right about, you know, like the cut of the grass. A lot of times their eyes are right about out there. You know, they're 4 or 5 feet in front.
And there has been some science that I've read. I don't know if it's accurate or not, but you know that I know Tom House had brought this up a long time ago, that most hitters are going to lose the ball 10, 15 feet in front of them. They're not going to see it all the way in that period. And the reason they brought that up was because from a pitching standpoint, and I know I'm going into pitching now, but from a pitching standpoint, they're always trying to get pitchers to release the ball as far as possible out in front. So that way, if the ball moves, it moves later and not earlier, because if it moves later, you know, they can't see, they lost track of it. Does that make any sense?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And that's why late movement, you know, it's always been the thing that kills from the pitching end is that late movement.
But it tells you what the vision's actually doing instead of, you know, we think, like you said, oh, watch the ball hit the bat. I would assume it's not a terrible thing when you're working with young kids to use a term like try to watch the ball hit the bat, even though they can't, because it gets them to, you know, track it, focus more on the baseball.
Right, right. And it keeps your mechanics together, because if you're a kid, you want to whack the heck out of that ball and then see it sail.
Yes.
And that gets you out of whack. So they can say, keep your shoulder in. They can say, and so getting your eyes right into that location really has a lot to do with keeping your swing together. I get real obsessed with people swinging off the tee, hitting off the tee and producing that same movement. And this goes to get, you say, well, what does that have to do with pitch recognition? Why should I listen to you talk about mechanics? Because I don't know anything about mechanics. I couldn't fall down and hit the ground. But the way it connects is this. If you're and this is really important, Pete, because we've got so many players still having to do their work, having to get better at home.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a lot of. And so if you can set up a tee, what you really want to be doing is visualizing a pitch coming in every time. Not even one swing off of the tee are you doing where you're not visualizing a pitcher out there and you're saying you're setting the tee here. You've got a certain location for the tee. Well, how many different pitches can come to that location? Here'd be a four-seamer from a right-hander. Here'd be a backdoor slider from a left-hander. Here'd be a sweeping, cross-shooting slider from a side-armer. And you picture that guy. Maybe it's somebody you have batted against. Maybe it's somebody from the GameSense app. This is why I think it's really good to do like the GameSense and then step in with the tee. And you're just, instead of saying create the vision of a pitcher, we're saying recreate the guy you just saw. You know, we've got some guys in there with their iPhone in there with them, right in the cage. And they can also take this and put it up on a TV. So you're seeing it on the TV. But the thing is, if a hitter hitting off the tee is really doing this right, and they're visualizing that pitch coming in, and you can slow it down, you're in complete control, but you've got to be visualizing it coming in so that your head's not coming down until your shoulder brings it around. And so I remember asking Ken Revisa, you know, the famous.
Absolutely. Been on the show several times. Rest in peace, Ken.
Yeah. Best of the best.
Yes.
And he always talked about visualizing. And I would say, Ken, how do you know somebody's visualizing? And he says, that's hard. Sometimes you can see their eyes moving around in their head. Here's what I'm telling you. If I'm watching a hitter hit off a tee, I can tell you if he's visualizing, really visualizing a pitch coming in, because he's going to be producing this type of head movement out here and then coming down with it as the shoulders. Not like this and scoping in the tee. This is what Darren Everson then calls getting a heavy front shoulder. This is the kind of iron the wrinkle in bad habit that a hitter at home working off the tee can build in. Bad habit. You don't want to bring your hands back and sight that thing down and take a donkey hack. You want to have it out here and you're back up here. Your head's not coming down here. Now is when you're in it, and it's not a big movement. You're just going shoulder to shoulder. You see somebody producing that movement, that means they are visualizing a pitch coming in, which means they're getting that whole benefit. Now, every swing they take off that tee is like a little mini simulation of that.
Excellent stuff. Hey, let me tell you, Pete, there's so much to unpack just on what you said, and I'll tell you why. Because, you know, I've studied T-ball. We all seen it. And I'm going to go to T-ball exactly for the young kids. And some of the things we've been trying to tell coaches is, and we didn't know this way back, but, you know, if you just use some common sense, a T-baller does exactly what you're saying. He watches the ball right there and then hits it. And that shoulder stays in there and they're off balance. Instead of looking out there and trying to, like you said, visualize. Now, with young kids, it's tough to get them to visualize. But what about having a coach out there who maybe fakes a throw or throws it into a net and they see the ball and then they hit the ball off the tee? That's a lot more progress when it comes to visualization.
Well, and a lot of the best hitting coaches and all say they don't like guys hitting off the tee. They don't like hitters hitting, they feel like that ball's got to be movement. But to me, that doesn't mean don't hit off the tee. That means do it better.
Yes.
Because you got people at home now, if they're self-driven, if they really are wanting to work on their game, great. Good for them. Do the things that have you. You're going to have to become a self-coach. You're going to have to self-coach yourself with that. And, a big part of that is visualizing that pitcher, visualize a pitch coming in, it's the visualization is not just eyes. It's also imagination. So it's like, okay, you feel, maybe you've got that tee and you're saying, okay, fastball, not a fastball. And you feel that, and you actually get that sense that hitters get, you know, that smell of fish sense. Okay, that's not a fastball. Don't swing.
Right.
How often do a batter at home practice not swinging? If you've got that tee set right there, you know, occasionally visualize that pitch coming out is a changeup. You get the sense of that pronation on that. And practice holding your swing on that. Practice not swinging.
Many hitters, you know, especially pretty much all levels, you hear this all the time. Boy, I have trouble with the curve. If somebody is constantly seeing curveball after curveball, whether it be on video or whether it be somebody throwing it to them and just seeing it, even without hitting it, but later on obviously starts to hit it. Is that a positive thing, or should it be trained in a different way when it comes to identifying a curveball?
Curveball is really a great one, especially for like the young players, because your eyes, you know, all hitters have this kind of love-hate relationship with your eyes because you're absolutely dependent on them. But you know what? They'll lie to you, Pete. And the other thing that your eyes are, beyond being kind of liars, is that they're really lazy. So as soon as that ball pops out of the pitcher's hand, you know, you got that coming up, boom, here comes that ball coming up. Your eyes are like saying, hey, let's go have a smoke. Yeah, why can't you hang in there? But you can't. That's what you're, as soon as your eyes say that ball's coming out high, you're off. And now you've taken, you know, especially at the earlier levels, you know, now you've taken that, that hanger is coming right down into the zone. You've got to get your eyes to not give up on Wade Boggs. His book, he said, on the hanging curveball, I could feel my eyes bob in my head. He had a little internal cue. And that told him, don't give up on that pitch. So on the curveball, a lot of times it's don't give up on the good one. Don't chase the bad one in the dirt. We don't want you to do that. But even worse, chasing the curveball in the dirt. But a real loss is when you get that hanger, and you especially have the somewhat younger players are first seeing that, and that pitcher is used to, first time he throws that curveball up there, he's going to freeze that batter. Actually, I used to be behind the plate some too, and I remember a coach coming back and saying, this guy, when he throws his curve the first time, it's going to freeze you, and it will, even as an umpire, because that's hot. You're making that immediate judgment. We've already talked about making that early read is what you want to do. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that early read needs to overcome what your eyes are telling you. Needs to overcome it. So your eyes are telling you that ball's high and they're checked out. They're leaving right now. And so it's a matter of learning that through the reps you're talking about, learning that, whether it's to where you're seeing that and you're saying, make your eyes hang in there, make your eyes stay in there on that pop-up curveball. Then you get to a higher level, you get to a high school, college level, and now the pitchers have to get better. You know, the pitchers at those highest levels don't get away with those pop-up curveballs because guys have trained their eyes not to give up on that one.
You know, it may be another topic, but I got a feeling that umpires need to go through this training too. And that's not a critical thing because umpires, especially at the major league level, are incredible what they can do. But I would assume the more training they have visually, they're going to get much better at identifying the pitch and location. But when it comes to game sense, can you set up game sense where you're younger, you're setting up just watching curveballs, and then later mixing it up to identify which pitch you're throwing.
Right. So you can set it up so it's like all curveballs. Mm. So we got some drills in there where I'll even find the thing here. So, you know, you're setting this thing up and it's, I'm going to set this here. So so here's this guy throwing here. And this is, see, you don't have all those options I showed you before. You only have ball or strike. So that's a curveball each time. So this is a whole set of 10. It's different pitchers in there, you know, and all you're doing is seeing curveballs. Okay, I'm saying that one was a strike, you know. And you're training not to give up on that one, not to give up on this one, not to chase that one. Oh, you get in there where you're not giving up on that one and you're not chasing that one, starting to make yourself dangerous.
Absolutely. Pete, you know, the other thing is, you know, the product, we're talking about all year round with it. We're talking about in practice as part of one of your stations, right? You set all this up. So it's not just home training.
Right. You can send it out. We have some people in facilities. They'll even like set up a net.
On a large screen?
Yeah, like a large screen. Because a lot of facilities will have one of those like on the wall.
Yeah, you can project
it. They'll use it for their feedback from their hit tracks or something like that. They've got it right there on the wall. So you can hit it, set up a tee here, and we've got a mode where you go and you don't have to hit the thing on the computer. It just goes. It just plays. It's going to show you, here's the cutoff pitch, and now here's the replay. And it's all timed out so that with just enough time, you can put a ball on a tee, and then you're sitting there, you just say, I'm going to hit, just like the curveball one we did. You just run something like that. I'm hitting curveballs in the zone. You're not worried about the exact location. You're just trying to train the eyes not to give up on it. And this, so, okay, You know, it's in the zone, I'm hitting it. If not, I'm taking it easy. One after the other after the other. Throw another pitcher up there. And especially early on when somebody's trying to build up that database. I mean, you were talking about just seeing, that's the thing like with curveballs. You get a 13, 14, 15-year-old, you know, they haven't yet built up that database of what all those things look like. Much less, you know, here are the good ones and here are the bad ones for swinging at. So, you know, you do something like this and here's the lefty, here's the righty, here's the short guy, here's the tall guy. You know, here's the loopy curveball guy, here's the tight curveball guy. You know, and you're just building up that database. And it's great if you are not just watching it and clicking on the computer, but when you've got it up there and you're expressing that as a swing.
And that's what I love about it. I was going to mention two things. One, yes, the main thing is identifying the pitch as early as possible. That's what you're training. But, you know, for young kids, it can get a little boring always doing that only. But now you're actually hitting a ball, whether it's a ball tossed, it could be tossed, or it can be on a tee. And again, we stress that because we continue to say, you know, training still has to be fun and technology can make it fun. And that's what I love about the technology. It adds another dimension. Pete, we got about 10 more minutes and I mean, we've got great stuff. Obviously, there's so much to unpack on a product like this. Give us some other things that you're doing with the product. Anything we missed that, you know, that can really help coaches and parents understand how this product works at home and on the field or in practice.
Well, that's really great to bring in like a parent's role on that, because it's just like with the having to do the school at home, and now the kid's got to be you know, not going out to the facility, he's got to do that at home. What can the parent do? And the parent might not know much about, you know, hitting, but you can engage the child with that, and, you know, first of all, just make sure they're putting in their time. Mm-hmm. We say it's like, you know, 10 minutes a day. 10, 12 minutes a day, no more than 15. We don't want you to binge on it, because some people will. They'll get like really.
Folks, we're not taking calls on the show, so hang tight, but hopefully one day we'll have that technology.
But, you know, they've got, that's what we want. You do that 10 minutes a day, 5 days a week, you're going to get in the neighborhood of 150 to 200 video at bats in a week. You know, that's you know, well more than a high school season. And so a lot of it is just a parent, you know, talking with their kid about, hey, who were you hitting off today? Not just, hey, did you do your game sense? But what's really cool is that who'd you hit off of today? Oh, you're doing that Caleb. Oh yeah. He's that lefty with the curve that pops up. Yeah. How'd you do with him? Pretty good. All right. Who are you going to do tomorrow? Well, I think I'm going to take a shot at that Brett. He's a slider guy. Say, well, you don't really see too many slider guys yet, do you? Well, I'm trying to get myself ready. Mm-hmm. I want to be the guy who goes out to one of those showcases, and you know, that's what we talk about. Is you get that you're coming up to bat, and you know what it is. You're coming up to bat, and here's that guy on the mound, and all the guns go up, and now you lay off of his high hard one, and then he tries to come with the slider, and you know you put a good lick on it. You know, you want to be that guy. Absolutely. You want to beat the best. You want to be able to beat the best. So it's always good to train a little bit ahead. You know, the athletes that really achieve a lot of times, this is scientifically proven, a lot of times are the younger kids in a family. They're always playing up. They're always playing the older kids, you know? And so that's one of the things that the app can really do is let you play up a little bit. Let your eyes play up a little bit ahead, a little bit above where your physical and technical, you know, skills might be, but you can kind of play up. And when you do get that chance, when you do get into that, and other guys are starting to hit that wall, they're getting to that 83 mile an hour cutoff. They're not just tracking. It's not just about the physical parts anymore. And all of a sudden, boom, you're going right through a wall that the others are slamming into. You know, those are the stories we like to hear from folks.
Absolutely. You know, I'm thinking off the wall a little bit here, maybe off subject, but, you know, we tend to criticize a lot of kids nowadays for using technology too much, you know, with video games, but there's video games that we're talking about with hand-eye coordination, vision, you know, there's sports games. Are we getting too critical on that? Because that could actually help you in many ways, can it?
It is. Of course, when you really want to be able to get that together is if you can put the visual part of it, that game part that you're doing on here, you know, you hope it doesn't stay stuck in here. Mm. What you'd really like to do is you do that and then you're bam, right out into the cage.
Real life.
Right. If you, every time, this is what I really encourage kids, whenever you get a chance to stand in against a pitcher, do it. Now wear a helmet, and you don't have to stand in toed right up to the inside of the batter's box. You can back off a little bit. We don't want to get people hit. You can even be standing back. Like if the catcher is right here, go ahead and stand back here. You know, you don't need to have that exact point of view. And go ahead and just make it easy. Like when you're out in the bullpen, don't overcomplicate it. Fastball, not a fastball. Strike ball. And you'll find that as you do that, your eyes start, you know, really concentrating more, and you're starting to move your eyes. You know, the coaches will talk about moving your eyes from the pitcher's face or the cap insignia over to the window right here where the hands are going to come through. That's a hard thing to teach. We tell guys to do that all the time. That's something you actually have to learn to do. Your eyes do not like to, like I say, we're trying to get eyes to, we're taking advantage of what the magic things that our eyes do, and we're trying to overcome some of the things that can throw us off from our eyes. One of the things we ask our eyes to do is to move over to that window. Hmm. They're going to concentrate on that window, and they're supposed to move over there right now and then see that hand come through. This is not, focusing into open space is not something that eyes do well. They'll track anything that's moving around. You know, we're not that different than the dog chasing the squirrel. You know, our eyes will track. They'll stay on top of it. But if we want our eyes to linger, if we want our eyes to anticipate, to get to that spot in order to pick that up as it comes through, that's a high level thing. And you can practice that just by getting out in the bullpen, not tracking. If you see guys out there doing this, they're not doing it right. Mm. Now, tracking is also a good skill. Go ahead. You know, coaches will say, we're sending him down to the bullpen to work on his tracking. Great. Another day, let's say we're sending him down to the bullpen to work on his pitch recognition. Don't do those on the same day. Those are different skills. Mm. That's doing your cardio one day and your lift the other day. You know, let's send him down to the bullpen to work on their pitch recognition.
And you're speaking my language, and I'll tell you why, because you said you're a visual guy, but you know hitting. And I say that because for years we've been training coaches, and we had to learn it, you're training all year round many times indoors. Like you said, put the batter there, put the pitcher there. Not only does it help the pitcher, but it helps the batter also. And you don't have to have them close. In the bullpen, when a pitcher's getting loose, same thing. Work on that tracking, identifying that pitch. So I love it. I use a little example of my dog, too, because in the backyard, I put a ball on the ground, you know, and I'm about to kick the dog, you know, the ball. And the dog, what does he do? He anticipates, you know, it's like he's calculating the angle of my foot, where I'm going to hit it, and he's anticipating where, you know, he's not waiting for me to hit it, and then he goes there. He's anticipating all that. So that's what it reminds me of when you're talking about all those things.
It is. And we train it in the same kind of way. You know, these are dog training skills.
Yes.
You know, we got to train our eyes. You know, you're talking earlier, right from the beginning, we're talking about vision. We're talking about eyes. We're talking about instincts. And what they are trained instincts. Trained instincts. And, yes. And we got to train our eyes just like you train your dog. Repetition. Reps, 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 reps. Immediate feedback. It's how you learn. Pretty good tricks. Hitting a baseball is a pretty good trick, or a softball.
Absolutely. Pete, you know, how do you, I guess the question some people may ask, how do you measure success? Now, I know, you know, I've seen you on Twitter, and I've seen coaches give, you know, talks about how, you know, they've used the product and their teams really improve when it comes to the hitting aspect. How do you measure the success? And do you interact with players that have the product, or is this pretty much once they get it, they're on their own?
Oh, we interact plenty. Yeah. Somebody like Peter Zimmerman, he was I call him patient one. Mm. He took off with this thing when it was really just a kind of a beta test, you know, thing. And I remember once he was up in, I think, the North Woods League, and I get a call. He said, "This is Pete." I said, "Okay, you know, I'm on the bench." He's like watching the thing on the bench. He got, and he played, he was St. Louis area, and, you know, he was a PBR kid and perfect game and all that stuff, you know, top ranked guy. He ended up going down to San Jack in Texas, and had some real success there. And then he played 2 years. This would have been the second year at Mizzou, University of Missouri there. So, you know, not this just done season, but, you know, the previous season, he was hitting behind Cam Meisner, first round or sandwich round pick. And this guy is a guy who made himself a hitter. And he's an undrafted free agent. He's signed with the Astros now. He's in the Astros system. So here's a guy, you know, kind of living the dream, who's really brought us up and had us be a part of that all the way along. And there's a lot of Peter Zimmermans out there, you know, and these are, whether it's male or female, they are people who really want to succeed at their sport at the highest level, wherever that takes them. And they're going to do that work. Like you said, it wants to be fun. It wants to be playful, but we also have to consider that this is what they call deliberate practice. Mm-hmm. You know, that 10,000 hour rule, deliberate practice. And that's something you're doing to get better, and you're doing it with a plan.
And I love it. And not just a plan, but I think GameSense also has drills that you have that are part of the program, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So you've got kind of an internal coach within that. But ultimately, any player like that becomes kind of a self-coach too. I'm not just going to go in and fool around on this. You know, I'm going to work on this person today. I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'm going to work just curveballs today. And then I'm going to go and I'm going to go out to that place where you can set up the curveball machine. You know, if you've got a team, you've got a coach saying, okay, make sure you do this pitcher, make sure you do the curveball drill. You come in on Thursday, facilities, come in on Thursday, we're going to have the curveball machine picked up, you know. And then you work on things like Justin Turner did, and he had to work on this. Again, you've got to train your eyes for it. And then he taught Bellinger, which is you got to swing under that curveball. And you can picture these guys getting out in front, especially Turner, getting out in front and getting that ball. And then those are the ones that really sail out. Trevor Story is another one really good at that, you know. But you've got to recognize it early enough that you've got to have enough control over your, you know, what your eyes are telling you, because your eyes are telling you here, and you got to kind of swing. Again, we're back to adjusting the sights. That's pretty high level stuff.
You know, it is.
But we don't want to get overcomplicated.
But it's interesting because just the other night, Tim Anderson, Chicago White Sox, I put it on Twitter, Twitter at Baseball Out, and we're going to get all your information out on our show notes. You know, Tim Anderson, actually, as the pitcher, he probably should have done it as the pitcher started to wind up. He did a little bit too early, but he moved his feet up in the box. The catcher didn't see it. It was a curveball. You know, he had a game plan. He understood there was a curveball possibly coming at that time. But you still have to be able to see it come out of the hand.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he anticipated that was going to happen.
Yeah. Right. So you've got your strategy, what Ted Williams called proper thinking. You know, mm-hmm. He knows his, Tim Anderson, he knows the situation. He studied that. He's got his scouting report. So that's all cognitive, you know, that's all, you know, conscious brain stuff. And then he gets in there and eyes recognize that is the curveball. You know, you're trying to reduce that down to kind of yes or no. You think maybe you're going to get the curveball here. Boom, that's it. And you get the little shot of adrenaline up your back and your body fires that well-trained script to get down where you know you need to get the contact you want on that pitch. And, you know, then the magic happens.
Love it.
Feels like instinct. Every piece of that was systematically put together. It still feels like instinct. If you're still working on it, then keep working, because, you know, you want to get to where it feels like, oh, I see the ball, hit the ball.
Love it. Pete, finally, this has been awesome. Researcher, scientist, I mean, the reason you're in that business, you're never satisfied with what you have and what you always want to, you know, check out the next best thing. What's Peter Fatty working on with GameSense on the next best thing, or possibly some things maybe you learned that you need to tweak in the system?
Well, there's a lot of things in there. It's like part of it is that the basic approach, this video occlusion, this cutting off the video, and then you have to say what the pitch type is and predict, you know, ball or strike. That is something we don't mess with. Mm. Okay, that's Twitter simple. Don't mess with the golden egg there. That's what the sports scientists have been using for 50 years to measure skills like this. And so only now are we starting to take and say, okay, we can put that into a form where you can do it day in and day out. And that's where you make the difference. It's the little things you do every day that are going to make the difference. So, you know, the thing then is, okay, how can we make it more engaging? And so now you go on with the leaderboard. And so like we had all these minor leaguers doing it and it was all anonymous. It didn't even count their name, but they would compete for their team. So on the leaderboard, you know, here'd be one of our pitchers and there's, you know, Athletics 20 and Orioles 20 and Rays 20 or just, you know, so you've got the leaderboard where guys on a, and also like Mizzou softball, their players really like that. They have like a World Series. Chris Melvo, their hitting coach, will put together kind of a World Series and they go and they're tracking that. And so if somebody shows up above you on the leaderboard, you're going to get back in and beat them. And of course, every strength and conditioning coach, you know, you put up best lifts on the wall and now you get a little competition going on that. And, you know, working on some modes where if you get a good score, you know, if I get a good score, I'm challenging Pete now. You know, so I'm going to, I hit the button and now Pete gets a little message and, you know, whoever else I got on my list and it says, hey, I just got 200, 250's maximum. I just got 200 on Jarrett. You know, see if you can beat me. And so, you know, gamification, sometimes they call that, where you're adding to the challenge of it, but you're not taking away from the core thing. And that's the most important thing of all. From the time I started working with this, you know, almost 20 years ago, there would be people coming up, talk at ABCA or whatever and say, oh, we'll make a company and we'll do this and we'll add that bell and we'll add that whistle and we'll put on the goggles and it'll be, you know, I mean, no, don't mess with the basic technique. But we've got that down cold. That's drill and practice. Nobody likes to say, oh, I'm going out to do some drill and practice. Yeah. That's that deliberate practice. So, but there's nothing wrong with having a little fun with that, especially if that fun is competing, you know. The people we're talking about, that's what fun almost equals competition for them.
Absolutely.
People say, oh, make your product fun. You say, yeah. So everything we're putting into that is so that it's more fun by having more competition with your teammates, with your friends, with yourself, of course.
Love it. Pete, great way to end it. Folks, GameSenseSports.com. Check it out. We'll have it on the show notes. Peter, as always, you know, I knew ahead of time that this was going to be a great show. I look forward. We're going to continue this because I know there's new things coming out. Thanks for joining us and wishing you best of luck this week, man.
Pete, you do great things for the sports here and all over the world.
Well, we try. And folks, that's why we want to spread the message. You got a great product here. And I think more people need to see it. We talk about technology, fun, competition. You maximize all of it along with drills. So again, folks, that's Peter Fatty, GameSenseSports.com. Check it out. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Special thanks to Pete. And also special thanks to everybody in the U.S. and around the world. And I don't want to forget our producer, Brian Kroc, with the Lineup Media Group. He is fantastic. Check out lineupmediagroup.com. And finally, the only thing we ask is what? Subscribe to Peter Caliendo on YouTube. Hit that big red button, right? Boom, hit it. Help us out. And then if you love the shows, which we get, I love, what keeps me going is the messages I get from coaches, players, and parents about the show. That's what really keeps me going. We're not making any money. Our goal in the future, hopefully, will be to make some money on the show so we can do it full time. But we hope that you will help us out by just sharing the show if you really like it. It's all you got to do, share it with others. And then the snowball just keeps rolling and rolling, and we'll keep going. So again, thanks to everybody for joining us in the U.S. and around the world, also on Facebook. God bless you all, and we'll see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.